Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 143 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter Verona, which finished 1-0 at the San Siro to the hosts, a goal from Christian Aslani in the 9th minute on a penalty, brings Inter back within 3 points of the league leaders Napoli, who won earlier in the day against Lecce, 1-0. Not the most exciting game, that's for sure, but as far as job done, it's you know, twofold. One, pick up the 3 points and keep a title race that's, you know, as we're coming to the finish line here, hopefully keep it alive, at least as far as potentially a playoff is concerned. And two, get, you know, get some key players rest heading into a big Champions League tie, second leg against Barcelona in the midweek. I don't know, Johnny, pretty drab match. What's your one word to describe what we saw yesterday?
Snooze. Put me to sleep that game. But you know what? I guess you could expect that when you roll out your C team, right? They did a good job, I think, staying healthy, avoiding any risky takes. I mean, I thought the team really didn't allow Hellas to have any opportunities. So I think that's good, especially when you have such heavy rotation. And if you have like 11 guys who don't typically play together, playing together, you know, I don't think you could expect a lot of chemistry to come from the match. So listen, 1-0, we take it, we move on, and just got to keep praying that Napoli slip up here so we could force a one game playoff maybe.
Yeah, well, let's actually get into that as our first buy or sell for the day. So to kick it off, I'd say buy or sell, there is a greater than 50% chance of Inter being able to force a playoff in this title race.
What percentage? 80%?
50.
50. Buying or selling if there's a... let's go... Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I think they're, you know... If you look at the Lecce game with Napoli yesterday, I mean, it was a free kick goal that I would argue was more goalkeeper error than anything. I don't know how Falcone... Listen, I understand you got to curl the ball around the wall, and it is going to be tough to see when it's coming around there. But when you're defending that side already, to not be able to get to that low angle there and make a save, it's mind-boggling to me. And, you know, there was calls for, you know, Falcone to be on the national team as like a third-choice keeper. If you can't even make that save, I don't want you anywhere near the national team. Like you're making Vicario type mistakes right there. So I hope that some goalkeeper in the matchups that they have remaining, and I'm actually pulling it up right now because I'm kind of curious who those could even be, would be able to maybe steal one for us. And I mean, 50%, I think, is a pretty fair number to put on it, given, you know, how we've been playing. The only game that could really give us a difficulty might be, well, no disrespect to Lazio, but I think we showed that we can take care of them. But, you know, it very well could be that the Como game could be deciding for sure, you know. If Napoli, who play Genoa, Parma, and Cagliari, with their remaining matchups, if they're not able to, you know, secure a victory, Parma could very well steal one, honestly. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens for sure. But we still have to do our job, so I think we're capable of it.
Yeah, that last match day in the Serie A is Napoli hosting Cagliari, while Inter have to go away to Como. I think, you know, Como's already solidified their, you know, their place in Serie A for next season. So I don't know how realistic it is to expect that, you know, given that they don't have anything to fight for, that it's going to be an especially difficult game. But Lazio is still involved in a fight for European places. Torino, you know, they lay down against Napoli. So odds are that they're not going to do so against Inter. So that could be a tough game away from home. But, you know, you mentioned Parma. I think Parma is really, you know, the game where if this thing is going to go to a playoff, that's the game that's going to end up deciding it. Parma-Napoli. Parma does have everything to fight for. They're a young, talented team. Kivu has them playing well. They've been playing well ever since you took over. So there is that chance. But the way things are going, I'm going to sell that there's a greater than 50% chance that we can push this thing to a playoff. It's not so much like, oh, I have all this confidence in Napoli, and it's not so much that I don't have confidence in Inter. It's just I lack confidence in the rest of Serie A to make this interesting, unfortunately. You know, Genoa, Parma, and Cagliari, I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to be able to do the job. So, you know, we'll see how things play out. I think for me personally, I'm completely focused and in Champions League mode at this point in time, which is what I think, you know, the whole club is really focused on, as evidenced by the rotation that we saw against Verona. So that'll get me to my next question here, or my next buy or sell. The rest that was given to the players against Verona on Saturday is going to show up on Wednesday positively for Inter against Barcelona. Every time we've seen Inter get, you know, 7 days rest, which has not been too often this season, they typically come out rusty. So buy or sell that's not going to be a factor, and the rest is going to play a positive part for Inter against Barca in midweek.
Yeah, I buy that it's not going to be a factor. And the only reason I'm buying it, which obviously, you know, everything kind of points against it, is the importance of this game. You know, when we did have those other instances where we had 7 days rest, it was in the league, right? We had a little bit of a lead, or we were right there on the cusp of regaining the lead. There wasn't anything to fight for. Not that, like, they didn't, I'm not saying that they didn't care, but it's like now they know we have to show up on Tuesday. Like, we got to rest. We got to be, you know, saved for this important match. I mean, we see that, you know, there's talk of Lautaro being available for this one, which I think is a bit of a risk. Like, do you want to potentially burn one of your early substitutions? I don't know. But I think for the ones who were fully rested, Bastoni, Barella, now I'm blanking on who else that was like a regular. I mean, do you want to go in? Turam was rested.
Hakan
would have been was rested regardless if he was going to play or not. But, you know, I think it's great to have these guys on a full, well, 6 days really, since it's going to be going on Tuesday and not Wednesday. I think they're going to show up for this. I really do. And you can call me a optimist. I don't know what's gotten into me. Normally a little bit more pessimistic, but I really do feel like this year, although I didn't think at the beginning of the year that this would be our focus and that we would, you know, be able to truly compete for it, the chips are kind of falling that way, and it looks like, you know, I don't have any egg facts, but I think that this is going to be the year that we're able to finally lift that those big ears.
I'm going to buy that it's going to have a positive impact. This has been a brutal stretch for Inter, and I completely agree with you that the other instances where we had 7 days rest, it didn't even come close to the magnitude of what we're going to see as far as the importance of the game midweek. So no, I think they desperately needed this. I think it was the right call, honestly, to go with, you know, full rotation. I was surprised that Sommer got a rest as well, but yeah, you know, I guess last opportunity for Jose Martinez this season to see some minutes, unless, you know, the league completely falls apart and maybe he plays the last match day. But yeah, I think it was the right call. You know, some of the players that you feel like need to get some minutes on their legs, like, you know, DiMarco and Mkhitaryan, they did play some part against Verona. But other than that, like, you know, sit everyone, make sure those legs are as fresh as possible, and then go into midweek, you know, raring and ready to go. All right, buy or sell. Christian Aslani saved his Inter career with one of his better performances in an Inter shirt against Verona.
Selling that. Sorry. You did nothing really that special, in my opinion. Thank you for scoring a penalty. If you would have missed that, you would have never heard the end of my rant on him. But this is his level. He can't really compete much higher than Hellas. And if you put him in a big game, he tends to freeze up and disappear in those moments. So, yeah, he deserves to be back at an Empoli or a Torino or Genoa. This is just not his level, unfortunately. You good? You good? He might have lost audio, or he might have lost hearing. But yeah, no, that's kind of where it's at with Aslani. So it's not easy when you have a young player that, you know, it's not that I want to see him fail at all by any means. It just gets a little bit harder to have that, you know, guy who just you keep giving opportunities to and he just doesn't really show up. So I don't know what's going on with Alessandro. I feel bad that he's might be having some audio issues here. It might be our app, honestly, that we're doing the podcast on. So I apologize. It happens, guys. All right. This is going to be, you know what? Just like the game against Verona yesterday, this is, you know, something that happens here too. So hopefully we'll be able to have something better for you guys. Oh, is he back?
I got you back. Can you hear me?
Yep. Hear you fine.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Sorry about that. Having some trouble here with my headphones.
No worries.
All right. I'm going to sell that he was able to save his Inter career. If anything, I thought it was more of a showcase for some of the other interested teams for Aslani here. I mean, at this point, like, I would take a 15 mil offer for him. There was some chatter on the timeline about how, you know, if we didn't allow Aslani to stay at the club and continue his growth, that we'd be really missing out on a talented player, which I don't think the argument has ever been that he's not talented, especially when it comes to his distribution. It's just more so that for me personally, I think there are other players that would be a better fit. So if an offer as low as 15 million comes in the summer, I think I'm ready to move on and invest in another player for this midfield.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Similar line of questioning here, just as far as players and their future Inter careers. Buy or sell, Zalewski did confirm his place with this Inter side next year based off of a performance against Verona that was super, super encouraging, and he was likely the best player on the pitch yesterday.
Yeah, no, I probably would have sent the check right over to Roma immediately, got that deal done. Loved what I saw from him yesterday. I thought he was the best player on the pitch. He had a few crosses in there to Arnautovic, who unfortunately wasn't able to finish them. And yeah, I'm a big Zalewski fan. I hope that he can stay and make a name for himself. He's definitely an upgrade on Buchanan, who was someone I was hopeful would be able to carve out a place for himself in this team. But just like most Canadians, not up for it. No offense to our listeners in Canada. I'm just kidding. So, but yeah, I wanted us to redeem him, and hopefully he could be, you know, a good rotational player for us and become somewhat of like a more offensive Carlos Augusto in the sense.
The incessant cutbacks, you know, literally back and forth, does that part of his game bother you at all? Because I do see a lot of the times where he will have created enough space with that first cutback for him to deliver a cross. And then all of a sudden he does the second one. And sometimes it comes off and gives him even more space. Sometimes it doesn't. Is that a part of his game that is frustrating for you or exciting, given that, you know, we don't really have any of our other wing backs that pull off stuff like that?
Not a great question. I mean, I know some people brought that up as well. I tend to enjoy it myself. It kind of gives me a little bit of Ivan Perisic, obviously not as two-footed or as dynamic of a player going forward as he is, but to have that trickery in your bag, I think, is so huge, and it's something we are desperately lacking that it doesn't bother me, especially if you still are able to deliver a good cross into the box and you know, you're just reliant on finishing or lack of finishing to make it a bigger part of your game. So yeah, no, I'm okay with it. I wouldn't change it at all. If anything, I would just want him to work more on his defensive side than anything.
Yeah, that's definitely the part that he needs to improve on, but you do see a willingness from him. He doesn't shy away from the tackle like some other players in the side. So, you know, with training, obviously Fadis is the defensive guy for this team, you know, with a full season of coaching. I expect that to improve as well. All right, two more buy or sells here, and then we'll get to your listener questions because there's not really much to talk about from the game. All right, 77 minutes out of Arnautovic. Correa gave 90, but he's not on the list for Wednesday. And Taremi ended up playing 13 minutes, subbed in for Arnautovic. So buy or sell Taremi, even if Lautaro is back, you know, and available, Taremi should start the game midweek against Barcelona alongside Thuram, with Lautaro coming in the later stages.
So in this situation, are we guaranteeing that Lautaro comes in the later stages?
Let's say in this situation that Lautaro will be available for the team, and it's either he's able to start and give us 45 to 55 to 60, or he's only got maybe 25 to 30 minutes in his legs.
Yeah. I think I would rather him. I think I would rather him start. And my reason is, if he is fatigued or if he is injured, like, you know, severely, or to the point where we may have to pull him out, I'd rather that a player, let's say Taremi, come in, even though he's not my favorite player, maybe be able to have an impact, and you know that he will have the legs to go the rest of the game. And then if you decide to sub him out later, or sub out Thuram, whatever, at least then you know, let's say hypothetically the goal goes to extra time, you have another substitution slot there that you would be able to maybe utilize if needed. Whereas if you start Taremi, he goes, and then you decide, okay, it's 1-1. Let's throw on Lautaro. Maybe he does have 20, 30 minutes in his legs. But what if it does go to extra time? Does he have the extra 30 minutes in his legs? And are you then burning another substitution there? I mean, I guess it could still happen both ways. But like, I would rather him start, and then let's say he can only give you 15. Well, then you know you got 75 minutes, you know, with Taremi, as opposed to, what are you going to get from Lautaro, really? Like, it is tough. Yeah. I don't know. We don't know the severity of the muscle strain, right? So, like, we don't know, is it a grade one, a grade two? I don't even know what the grades are, to be honest. Like, what level is worse or better? So, yeah, it'll be very telling when we see that starting 11, what the plan is, I guess.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So I guess this would be a sell on this one. If Lautaro starts, you're guaranteeing at least one substitution for him. If he comes on later in the game, and let's say this does get pushed to extra time, it's not a guarantee that he'll be able to make it the entire way through. And I don't think that's, you know, that's a risk that Inzaghi is going to want to take, especially if he's going to be put in a situation where if this thing goes to penalties, he may need to bring on a Zielinski or even an Aslani, you know, into the game here. So yeah, I don't think it makes sense to potentially blow multiple substitutions just because you want to feature Lautaro. I would rather do it from the first minute, see what he has. And then, you know, knowing that he's not going to be able to get through a full 90, at least when you're bringing on Taremi, obviously the level on the pitch drops off, but he is a guy that you can rely on if you do need a penalty. So at the very least, you're subbing on, you know, knock on wood, hopefully we don't end up in a situation for that to come back to haunt me. But, you know, at least you're bringing on someone who, you know, you can slot into the five that would start, you know, the penalty shootout. So that's what I would do. All right. I had one more buy or sell, but I'm blanking on it right now. All right. Never mind. Anything about this game that you want to touch on before we get to the listener questions here?
No, it's a very boring match. I actually probably did fall asleep for like 10 minutes, so who knows if I missed anything of importance even there.
Yeah, it was not the best game. So this will be a quick episode. All right, Muad El Sharif, how likely is the risk of Inter finishing the season with zero trophies?
I'd say there's a 30% chance that happens. Again, we don't know what can happen.
There's a pretty good chance here. Yeah. You're behind in the league, you're out of the Coppa Italia, and you're playing Barcelona in the Champions League. So,
I mean,
it's incredibly
likely. Probably higher than even I want to give it, but I'm going to go with 30 because I feel like if we can get past Barcelona, I think we're beating whoever is in the final. I really do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. George Cordero, how good could Faris be as a head coach of a football club in Serie A?
Ooh.
Guys, Faris is the like defensive rotations, you know, coach for Inter. He handles all that stuff. Obviously, he's deputized for, you know, Inzaghi a lot, given how often Inzaghi has to get suspended. But that doesn't necessarily translate into everything that you're looking for a head coach in Serie A. Coming from the Inzaghi tree, you would you know, obviously use that as a positive, but there's a lot that goes into a coach. It's handling the media. You know, it's being able to decide on what players to bring in, which I don't know if Faris can do all of that. He's been with Inzaghi for a very long time. And I don't think he's ever gotten a look as a coach in Serie A, if any clubs have ever interviewed him or anything like that. So how good could he be? I don't know. I don't necessarily see him as someone who's going to step into the head coaching limelight. Typically, coaches that have been like assistants to a coach like Inzaghi for a long time, if they're really interested in it, they move on much faster than, you know, we've seen Inzaghi and Serie A, Faris and Serie A for like 6 years. So not sure on that one.
Yeah, he's I've heard from people who are in assistant coaching who they say they don't have any desire to be a head coach. They don't want to be the one in front of the media, like you said. They don't want to be the one answering the questions or having to deal with the big decisions. They just want to not be along for the ride, but be a part of it and help players grow as much as they can. And to them, that's rewarding enough. You know, they don't have to be in the limelight. They just like where they are. Faris was, you know, said he learned under Sarri, you know, under his school of coaching, and took a lot of things away from that and brought it with him to Inzaghi. And I think he, you know, like you said, if he really wanted to do it, I think he might have made the jump already. Maybe gone down to a Serie B club and tried to work there first. But he seems to be pretty happy with being alongside Inzaghi, and we're happy to have him, right? So,
yeah. All right, a person. 1352. Seeing that DiMarco is probably going to start, how many goals do you think Yamal will score on us on Tuesday?
Hot damn.
We're talking about the best player in the world. So even with Carlos on him for a full game, he's going to get his opportunities. I don't know. I know the DiMarco bashing has been fun, and it's absolutely true that he can't keep up with Yamal, but Yamal's goal came from skinning Mkhitaryan, not DiMarco. Bastoni is going to be behind DiMarco, and he did a pretty good job on Yamal in the second half. DiMarco did get beaten for the one that Somer had to push onto the post, but as I can say that I agree that DiMarco can't handle Yamal, while also saying it wasn't entirely on him. And in reality, there was one instance where DiMarco got burned that could have led to a goal. The rest of it were like other players involved. So yeah, I think the DiMarco bashing has gone a little bit out of control.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been frustrated with him as well, just like most Interisti. So would I want him to start? Probably not. But that also doesn't mean that Carlos Augusto is going to pocket Lamine Yamal. You know, like, we need to know he is the best player in the world right now. He's 17 years old, and he's doing things that nobody's ever seen. The vision that he has with the passing and crosses that he plays. You can't just assume that, oh, Carlos Augusto will be able to handle that. I mean, Bastoni in the first half had a terrible half. He couldn't handle the pressure. He was misplaying passes. Lamine had him on, like, just high alert. And anytime he had the ball, Bastoni, that is, Yamal was all over him pressing and trying to win it back and trying to get possession for his team. So you can't just assume that it's all of a sudden, like, Augusto's in, we win this, you know, like, I think that's unfair to the quality that Lamine Yamal has, and maybe I'm giving more respect to him than I probably should. I don't know. But I think I would much rather, with a, let's say, 1-0 lead, be able to sub on Carlos Augusto in the last 30 minutes than have to play, you know, start Augusto, and then he's got tired legs going against Lamine Yamal, who could have him on skates the entire game. It's tough, and it's a tough situation for Inzaghi to be in, but I think he also thinks, like, I would rather win this game with, or lose this game potentially with DiMarco starting, and then, like, what if he starts Augusto and Yamal scores the first half hat trick? What then?
Yeah, it's like, entirely possible, like, that happens.
It is entirely possible, and then he's got to answer questions. Why didn't you play DiMarco this game? Ba 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 ba. Like, all these things come up. You know, I think he would rather just maybe go down with the guys who have been riding the ship the whole season. Not that Augusto hasn't been great all season. That's not what I'm saying. But, I mean, the first half of this season, up until January, DiMarco was unbelievable. The assists that he was playing, the goals that he was scoring. I mean, let's look at the free kick goal he scored for us against Napoli, right? Like, what if he steps up and scores a free kick goal in the first half? Like,
I was just going to say that.
The limitations that we see with DiMarco, right, all defensively, he is way too accepting of a player dribbling at him. He backs off way too far. Yes, we can't fix that, and unfortunately, he doesn't seem to want to change that. But I would much rather be able to throw Carlos Augusto on against tired legs and, you know, feel confident with him as a defensive player than have, you know, let's say we go down 2-0 at halftime or something terrible like that with him starting. And then it's like your only option is to throw DiMarco on, and then you know there's going to be holes and space for Yamal to play into, and then, you know, it just could get ugly, right? So, I'm with you, Alessandro. Like, I just don't although deserved, the bashing for DiMarco is getting a little out of hand.
And the other thing too, it's the expectation is that Barca is going to be playing two center backs in the fullback position. If Araujo is playing right back and he finds himself on an island there against DiMarco, that could be a matchup that, you know, ends up working out for us. It's not like it's, you know, that action would be taking place at the top of the box, out wide. That's something that could potentially be exploited by DiMarco. So, yeah, we got to give the guy an opportunity to come through for us. especially given how often he's been able to do so in the past. Another question from Ronald Pena about Augusto, but we covered all that. Frank Sinopoli, guys, I want to say great game, but a win is a win. I want to call this out. Been thinking about it for days. Napoli will drop points to Parma, as in 3 points, stamp it. Love the pot as always. Ooh. We would love that, Frank, wouldn't we?
Yo, from your mouth to God's ears, Frank.
We would love that. Peter Jordan, this game highlights the sheer lack of cutting edge from our depth players. Inter had 2 shots on target over 90 minutes at home. Unacceptable. Zalewski was a bright light, and the 3 at the back were solid, but the rest of the second string weren't great, in my opinion. What do you think? On to Barca. I mean, we have been saying it for a while. And honestly, Correa, Arnautovic, not going to be with the team next year. Zielinski may not be with the team next year. If an offer from Saudi comes in, they're taking it. Aslani may not be with the team. Fratesi may not be with the team. So that's both your forwards and your entire midfield may be gone from this side. Darmian may move back into the back three if, you know, Bissek is sold. Bissek could be sold. Like, so De Vrij may not get his contract renewed. I mean, there's a huge likelihood that all that turnover is not going to be with us next year. And we've been saying revolution. It, you know, all year. So could be a revolution. But I think we all understand that the depth has not been as good as we were hoping for. But that is what we're working with. It was enough to overcome Verona.
Only of the year.
We are going to do a season wrap up without question. Okay.
All right. Never mind. I won't pose this question then. Continue.
All right. We got one speak pipe from our boy and frequent collaborator, Nick Costa.
Ooh.
My God, was that a boring game to watch today? And I'll pose this question and statement, whatever you want to call it. You guys, Inter having depth turned out to be a big miss. My God, today, like, you would think professional footballers that kick balls 6 days a week could, like, settle a ball, win some headers, complete some passes. Correa, crazy. The list goes on. The guys out there today were god awful, and maybe I'm overreacting, but the idea that we had. Depth, complete miss. Arnautovic, lousy today. Taremi, a complete bust. Darmian starting to show his age. Can't really progress the ball. But we win, we move on, and hopefully we're all celebrating after Tuesday. Take care.
Not wrong. You know, we did just touch on it here for a little bit, but I actually am pretty excited for next year because I feel like a lot of this dead weight is going to get moved around. So I'm excited for what we could look for. That is being said with a maybe irrational thought in the back of my head that Oaktree is going to invest in the side. They, you know, got record revenues from this team this year for what they've done so far. They should be able to, you know, get some decent transfer fees for some of the players that are outgoing. The wage bill, it's on its way down. I'm excited for this team to potentially get a lot younger, a lot more athletic, like I've been saying for a while. And look, Sucic as a player, I'm super excited for. He just decided, you know, Dinamo Zagreb's road to the title here this past weekend. Luis Enrique is, you know, there's a mixed bag on him. I think we're definitely going to talk about him a lot. But if that deal goes through, that's some potential excitement on the wing. You know, if Jonathan David comes in on a free, or, you know, Francesco Pio Esposito maybe has a role to play. There's a lot that could be done with this team, and I'm pretty excited for this revolution. I won't be a happy man if we're going into the following season with the likes of Darmian as a backup right wing back or Aslani and Fratesi on this team. So, yeah, the depth was definitely a myth, but it's an opportunity for next year.
Definitely a myth. I mean, the fact that we had Mkhitaryan starting, you know, pretty much the entire season kind of shows that there was not really that depth that we really anticipated. Taremi was a massive, massive letdown. I had high hopes for him. Zielinski being hurt, also had high hopes for him. You know, a lot of the things that we thought that were coming in that were actually going to be able to elevate us and take us to the next level have not really done anything or panned out the way we had hoped. So it is, it's extremely disappointing when you don't have those things play out or work out the way you have. And look, last year, you know, you look at it, injuries really avoided us last year. We did not have to deal with it the way we do this season, unfortunately. And, you know, we could sit here and point fingers and you know, pass blame and whatever else you want to do. But it really came down to health. And I think a lot of these losses that we've had this season are just unfortunate due to health. I mean, you know, the Roma game, I'm probably going to, you know, say that is really just I was going to think of something different, but I'm going to just say horrendous officiating that essentially decided the Scudetto race potentially. So I hope that there is a massive revolution. I hope that, you know, I really do pray that we win this Champions League, because my goodness, that could be such a war chest available to Beppe and company to be able to invest in this squad. And that's not even including with what we could potentially get if we sell certain players. So I'm extremely hopeful that we could just end this season on a high and then be able to really rejuvenate this lineup and keep the core of Lautaro, Barella, Bastoni, and Di Marco, you know, together and happy, and have proper you know, substitutions or players available to rotate.
Yeah. Speaking of the officiating, did you catch any of Bologna, Juventus, and Doveri's disaster class? The fall off from him that needs to be studied.
Yeah, I didn't. I've seen on Twitter though the absolute meltdowns about Doveri. I actually am in a group chat with Nick Costa and he sent a message about that. So I'm curious what happened. I'm assuming Juve got away with something ridiculous.
Multiple handballs and a penalty in the first half alone. I haven't seen the second half.
Oh God, bro. So Bologna is going to drop down.
Bologna
to
was
seven.
Robbed in the first half. Yeah.
So Bologna is instead of, if you give them two more points, they would actually be fourth. I swear, if we lose this title and Juve get Champions League football, I might lose my mind. But
it's 1-1 right now in the 95th minute, with 30 seconds left to play.
Brutal. So brutal.
Let's see how that shakes out. All right, I think I'm good. Again, not much to talk about. Everyone is looking forward to Tuesday. Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, right? Yeah. So let's see how it shakes out. We'll do, we'll be with you guys in midweek. And Johnny, I don't know if you have anything else you want to tell the crowd here.
Yeah, I guess real quick, I'm just going to get this off my chest because I need to say it instead of tweeting it. Nima's insane, all right? Nima has lost his mind, and his love affair with Antonio Conte is ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. I don't even, do we even know if he's an Interisti? Like, can we confirm that? Can someone fly out to Gothenburg and find out? Julian, you keep saying you want to go there. Find out for me, please. Like, I just don't understand this obsession with him and then calling him the greatest Italian league manager and comparing what he's doing with Napoli to what Ancelotti did when Ancelotti had to deal with Alan, Goulam, David Ospina, and other trash players on his team. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? What are we like? He had a fading Lorenzo Insigne, like, or not fading, faded. Like, it's not even close. This is 80% of the roster that won the Scudetto two seasons ago, and they spent 150 million and got arguably the best defender from Serie A last season on their team in Alessandro Buongiorno. They got Scott McTominay, who was handpicked by Conte, and I'd say 8 times out of 10, if Conte handpicks you, like, you are going to pan out in his system. He knows it. So that wasn't really a gamble. And they got rid of two players who didn't want to be there and brought in, you know, guys like David Neres and Lukaku, who has double-digit goals and double-digit assists. And we're acting like what Conte's doing on one game a week is some type of just masterstroke of genius, when it's really just the only thing that Conte can handle is one competition a week. This is why he'd be perfect for the national team, because he'd only have to worry about the Euros every 2 years and the World Cup every 2 years. So it's insane. It's a disrespect to Trapattoni. It's a disrespect to Ancelotti. It's, you know, even Allegri has more league titles than Conte. So Nima, I don't get it. Napoli fans, you're also idiots. I know you don't listen to this, but I'm just going to say it out there anyway, because I can't stand any of you. But yeah, that's it. I'm done. Off my chest.
Yeah, I gave my piece, you know, to with Nima on an Interviews podcast about, you know, this miracle that Napoli is pulling off. So I don't need to reiterate all of it, but I do think that these takes are debatable at the very least, hyperbolic, you know, as well.
Well said.
But that's what happens, you know, when during these title races, during stuff like this, it's like a narrative gets settled on, someone decides, you know, this guy is the great. It's like the constant, you know, debates that occur in other sports over who's the GOAT and who's this. It's, you know, it happens every season based off of what happens in that specific season, and then you lose sight of what occurred in previous years. So yeah, it's not a take I agree with, but maybe one day we will set up the debate, Nima versus Gianni. Maybe it could be a special episode of the Interviews podcast.
You'll have to be a moderator and have mute buttons, because there's no way either one of us would allow the other one to talk, really. So
yeah, I think I'd fit that role pretty well. Alrighty. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.